So if you remember from last week, our theme this month is harvest, right? We're talking about the harvest. You know, fall is here, the crops are coming off, which is why Eddie needed the help with the combine, right? Crops are coming off, the air's getting cooler, then warmer, then cooler, and you know, fall in Ohio, y'all. You know, we love it. Fall is here. I love this time of year. But of course, the harvest we're really talking about is the one that Jesus calls us to as workers in His fields, helping harvest souls. That is our job as His disciples, is to help harvest souls. And it's like, well, can we really do that? Yes, we can. We can lead people to Jesus. That is our job. That's what He's called us to do. And that's what we talked about last week. So helping harvest souls, and by that I mean using our gifts given to us by God, gifts used by the urging and guidance of the Holy Spirit to bring people to Jesus, to help bring them to salvation. We can't grant people salvation, but we can lead them to the source. And that's our part, and that's our job in the harvest. And that's what we need to remember day in and day out, not just a few times a year as we're reminded about it, but day in and day out. And as we talked about last week, says we not only have work to do in the harvest, but in sowing those seeds. You know, it's part of what our Spark program is all about, is sowing those seeds into the, you know, the littles in the church. Or the littles in the community, actually, too, right? I mean, we got kids that are coming to that aren't from our church yet, hopefully, you know? And we're sowing seeds. And I was reminded last night, also, because what I've been teaching it this time around with help from Christina. Teaching little kids is not my gift. I will tell you that right now. I am sure that anybody that has been there to it has heard the frustration in my voice every time I'm trying to teach these kids. But every week I recap with them from the beginning of what we talked about 4 weeks ago even. Because we started off talking about Abram. Who one kid keeps wanting to say Abraham Lincoln, you know, but hey, they remember this. And his little brother said, yeah, his nephew. Yeah, his nephew was there a lot, you know. And, you know, they're remembering this stuff. You know, his wife turned to salt. We're planting seeds. But we also have to nourish those seeds and keep those seeds nourished. And that's just the example with the kids. I can plant seeds in adult hearts too. Or even teenage hearts. Getting the eye from back there. You know, so that's what we're called to do is plant the seeds, nourish those seeds. And, you know, the ones that have been planted probably by somebody else. And hopefully, finally, harvest. Harvest those souls, you know, by leading them to the source, leading them to Christ. So no part of bringing in the spiritual harvest is insignificant whatsoever. So don't ever think your gifts are too small or not important in doing God's work. Because God wouldn't give you a gift if He didn't expect you to use it. And He wouldn't give you a gift if it wasn't important. Serving is a gift and it's important. Making lunch for those or dinner for those kids is a gift and important. Keeping your frustration down when you're talking to these kids is a gift and it's important. That's something I struggle with. But, you know, everything is a gift that God has given us. And so none of them are not important in doing His work. Because we got to remember who gave us the gift. Well, God gave them. And they were given with a purpose and expectation. And it would be a sin not to use these gifts. You realize that? It would be a sin not to use the gifts that God gave us to further His kingdom. It's like, you know, you've been given the greatest gift you can ever think that somebody was able to give you, and you just set it on a shelf. You know? Christina gives you this awesome, wonderful cake that she made, and you just kind of put it over here instead of eating it, you know? Or Megan's mouth is agape, so just so you know. Or Tom and Rick helping you fix that combine and you never use it again. Right? It'd be a sin not to, after all the effort that's been put into giving you these gifts. So how many gardeners do we have in here? Because I know we've been talking about harvest, but really our subject matter today is better suited, I think, for the garden. So how many gardeners do we have in here? Handful? Okay. Yeah? Like the garden? How was your garden this year? Because we didn't get one in because it was a horrible spring. How about people with... Who has grapevines? Anybody in here? Janet does? Of course Janet does. So... How hard is it to maintain those vines? To do it properly? It's not that hard? You're ruining my message. Can you work with me here?
Well, I never had to take care of it, so I'm in a learning curve.
Okay, there we go. All right.
They seem to be flourishing, but maybe that's just because they're still holding on.
They're still holding on from before. Okay, all right.
Well, mine are.
There we go. But I want you to think about what it takes to maintain a lush and bountiful productive garden, including those vines. That's what we're going to kind of talk about today. And one of the things we're going to talk about today is something that, you know, isn't the one we really want to talk about, especially when we're talking about with ourselves. But I think I want you to think about what it takes to tend that garden as we read our scripture and discuss the harvest. Our scripture comes from John 15 this morning, and it's verses 1 through 8. Hey, we did get it to work, Avery. So John 15, beginning at verse 1, says, I am, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. This is right after, you know, they're still in the upper room. It says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Back to the grapevines. What's one of the important things to keep a bountiful and lush grapevine going? Pruning. Yeah, and apparently Janet's don't need pruned, but
they do, but I don't know what to prune.
Pruning, yes. And I did. So I don't know much about grapevines in here, so I looked it up a little bit. And one of the things I saw when it comes to pruning your grapevines or whatever, the quote I will give it to you exactly. It says, "Don't be timid when pruning your vines." Matter of fact, you end up, if you do it right, you end up pruning back about 90% of the New Year's growth. And it's like, well, that's all good stuff. And hey, these guys know way more than grapevines than I do. So there's all of this that we need to take into. And whenever Jesus, or not just Jesus, whenever we read about like a vine, especially the grapevine, in Scripture, especially the Old Testament, if you remember from our psalm this morning, it says you took a vine out of Egypt and planted it. You know, you wiped out the people and planted it in this land. The grapevine is often, you know, Israel is often described as that vine. That true vine that vined out and is supposed to be bountiful. And there's this reminder that God had for His people from Jeremiah. It says, you will be my people and I will be... You guys know the rest of that? I will be your God. Did they always do the best job of being His people? No. Do we? You get where this is going? Does he ever stop being their God, though? No. So there's two sides to this. It says, you will be my people and I will be your God. And it's actually a statement from him that no matter what, I'm going to be your God. You got to ever have to prune that vine. We saw it over and over again, especially if we read through Kings and Chronicles. We see the ups and downs of the kings and everything like that. We read through Judges. We see the ups and downs of Israel's life and in the Promised Land. And I did plenty of pruning of that vine as well. But keep all this in mind, that vine. But then Jesus comes out here in this vine. He says, I am the true vine. He's the vine that Israel was supposed to be the whole time. Part of that promise of, you know, you will be my people and I will be your God. Did he ever stray from that idea of the Father, you know, straying from the Father? No. Of course, he is God, but still, he took everything to his Father in a perfect relationship. And his Father never abandoned him. Okay, I'm going to take that back, because there's that awful, horrible moment where he did abandon him, right, on the cross. But we'll get to that another time. But, you know, he was there the entire time. He did everything in here. So there's pruning that has to happen, because this vine needs to be fruitful and bear much fruit and bountiful. And he says that you are the branches. Who are the branches? He's talking to his disciples here, but does he still have branches today? I certainly hope that there are a lot of branches in this room that are on that grapevine. So before we get to that, we're going to talk about the every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. We're going to talk about the stuff that people don't really like to talk about all that much first. God is the vine dresser. He does the pruning. So what kind of pruning is he talking about here? He says, if there are folks among you that are not fruitful, so I'm going to take them away. If there are branches that think they're part of my vine, I'm going to take them away. This could be various things, and they're not all horrible. A couple of them are, you know, false believers. I'm taking them away because they're not bearing fruit. They're getting in the way of the ones that are trying to bear fruit. False prophets, same deal. But maybe it's somebody, could it be somebody that's like in your fold, but they're not thriving in your fold, but they could thrive somewhere else. Yeah. So maybe sometimes that pruning is a transplant. You know what I mean? Where there's a conflict of just personalities or conflict of heart. Who knows what it is? So it can be stuff like this as well. I want you all to realize that. It's not all horrible. If God would pluck someone from a fold, from a church family, and put them in another church family where they thrive, that's a blessing. Where they start bearing fruit on that other vine, that's fine. You see how God does all this amazing work, but it's for the good of His kingdom, the good of His vine, the good of this awesome vine of Jesus. So that we may thrive, so that we may bear fruit. And when we're bearing fruit, what are we doing? Bonnie, what do you say? Growing? Spreading the word? Spreading the spirit? Yeah. But sometimes we have to be pruned ourselves as well. Because he also says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Even the fruitful ones are being pruned. Just like that grape tree. Just like your tomato plants. Just like your flowers. These roses out here need pruned once in a while, don't they? And look how big and lush they come back. Of course, they have a benefit on being right there in that yard too. And it's awesome. But, you know, it's our lives like this too. We need pruned once in a while, is what Jesus is saying there. Even the ones that bear fruit, they need pruned so that they can bear more fruit. What kind of pruning do we need if we're already bearing fruit? This has a lot to do with like Paul when he talks about the, you know, taking off the old and putting on the new. You know, the old life. The old man is dead. I'm dead to the old man, alive to the new. Things that are in our lives that are holding us back from bearing more fruit. We've got fruit in our lives, but how much more could you bear if you got rid of this situation? This thing in your life. This person in your life. And that's where it really starts to hurt. Pruning isn't meant to be easy. It's going to hurt. If you just think about it, takes cutting to prune these plants. It's like God carving away things in our lives that are holding us back that we care about, but it's like, He says, if you really want to help me, you need to get rid of this. And sometimes they're more obvious than others. Addictions is an obvious one. You know, horrible people in our lives, there's an obvious one. But what if they're not horrible, but they're still holding us back? This is the pruning that Jesus is talking about. All these things put together. He says, He prunes these things out of your life so that you may be bountiful. And like I said, from that grapevine, 90% of last year's stuff gets cut back. Which means God might take a whole lot on that prune job. To get us to where He wants us to be. Saw a video. You guys ever heard of the Skit Guys? They have, I mean, I know Christina and some probably have seen some of their stuff. Usually it's some funny stuff, to be honest with you. They do little like 2-3-4 minute skits. They're Christian guys. But there's one, have you ever seen the one with the where the guy, one guy is like God, the other guy is like, hey, can you help me, you know, carve some bad stuff out of my life? And he's just got like a hammer and a chisel, and he's like, oh, I'm going to take a little bit off here. And, you know, and the other guy is literally, in, well, not literally, figuratively in pain because of the stuff that he's carving off of him. You know, and it's a great metaphor for this whole thing of carving things out of our lives. And that's what he calls us to do, is to go through that, to submit to that pruning. But remember that grapevine has a trunk that comes up from the ground and sends that nourishment to the rest of the plant. Jesus is that trunk that's sending that nourishment out to those branches, to us as those branches. If there's dead branches on that vine, they're actually more harmful than just wasted space. If you leave dead branches on a vine, a real one, could poison the rest of the plant, make it sick. If you have branches that are out there just kind of dormant, they're taking that wonderful nourishment from the rest of the plant for itself. So this is what Jesus is talking about in this. This is the kind of pruning that we need to be ready for so that we can be part of that harvest that we're continuing to talk about. It's like taking the blinders off. You know, maybe that's part of the pruning. God cuts away those blinders so we can see the bigger picture. To see what's going out there, to see those opportunities to step into folks' lives, to introduce them, to plant those seeds, to nourish those seeds, to harvest those seeds. Every branch that doesn't bear much fruit, that doesn't bear fruit, is cut off. As we go through this, it's a difficult situation, and yes, that pruning is going to hurt. Getting rid of things always does, or often does, and Jesus never says that this faith thing is easy. Never says that. If we read Jesus' story through all the Gospels, you tell me where Jesus had it easy. It says foxes have their dens, but you know the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He wandered from place to place. He was accosted everywhere he went. He won most of those, won all those battles with the Word of God, and he took everything right to the cross. Tell me where any of that is easy. Read the book of Acts, and you tell me where it was easy for the first the first Christians, you know, the early church in their battles, or in their lives, in planting the church, in the church developing. Tell me where that was easy. Read about the lives of the 12 apostles, the disciples, and see how their lives ended up. Only one of them grew old. And still what he went through. So pruning is difficult. This process of serving God is difficult. But how do we make it through this pruning thing anyway? There's that Jeremiah quote. But if we go back here to John 15, 4 and 5, he says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can bear nothing." You can do nothing. Does that mean that non-believers can't do anything? Get anything accomplished? No. That's what he's talking about here. We're talking about spiritual stuff. We're talking about kingdom work. We're talking about, you know, the things that really matter. In the sum of things to him. So you can't do kingdom work unless you're part of me. Unless you abide in me and I in you. What is that whole idea of abide? I know I've done a message on abiding once before, but what is the idea of abiding? Or what does it mean to abide? Any ideas? It's one of those words that we kind of, another one of those Christian words that we tend to kind of throw around, or, and it's not always just a Christian way, but any ideas? No? One of them is tolerate. I abide with my kids, you know? I got a tongue stuck out at me, by the way, on that one. But abiding is also this idea of dwelling with, or just being with, counting on. And you see that Jesus is putting this in a mutual relationship thing. He says, stay with me, continue with me, travel with me, live with me. All of these things are that kind of idea of abiding. It's part of a relationship. So maybe it's Jesus tolerating us, I guess, at that point. It says, abide with me and I in you. In you, not with you. In you. Keep me in you, is what he's saying. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, unless it is right there connected to the vine. When you're trimming these trees back, or you're trimming these vines back, and they got this pile of things, how much fruit can these vines that are laying on the ground bear? They're dead. They're going to die. They're fruitless. They're not going to bear anything. They're not connected to that vine anymore. But they can be grafted back in. Says when Jesus says abide in me, this will give you a little lesson on the Greek here, okay? Meno is the word that's used here in abide. Okay, that's the Greek word. And it's got various uses in the Bible. To remain, and that's in reference to a place. To sojourn, you know, to travel, to tarry. Not to depart, you know, to continue to be present, to be held, kept continually in this. There's also an idea in reference to time, you know, to continue to be, not to perish, to last, to endure. And this includes of to do all this with people, places, and things, by the way. Of persons, to survive, to live. It says, and it's also in reference to a state or condition, you know, to remain as one, not to become another or different. And then there's also this idea of to wait. Now, how many of these can we put in there in our relationship with Jesus, how we should be? Should we be waiting on Jesus? Yes. Expecting Jesus? Yes. Continuing with Jesus? Yes. To maintain a relationship with Him? Yes. every example that's in the Bible on these of this word that we translate as abide in this case can be applied to our relationship with Jesus. And like I said, remember it's a two-sided relationship. He says, abide in me and I in you. Kind of like saying, always be with me and I will always be with you. Right there. You shall be my people and I will be your God. Or how about this one? Matthew 28:20 says, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Sounds like one side of this abiding relationship is guaranteed to be perfect, to be awesome, to be there, regardless of anything. We're never alone in this process of ministry or this process of pruning. Remember that. We're not alone in this process of pruning. Not just, you know, we have each other. Of course we have each other. But we have Him through all this as well. So put your trust in Jesus. Trust that He not only has what's best for you in mind, but He is what's best for you. And if you allow Him to complete His work in Him, or in you, it says, your work in Him will be fruitful and bountiful. This goes back to our scripture last week. I want you to remember this part here, too. It says, do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? We use that to remember that, you know, sometimes we lose sight of the urgency of the gospel, the message of the gospel. There's that idea. But Jesus says, look, if I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. The harvest is happening now. People are planting, nourishing, and harvesting all at the same time. Together, collectively, individually, all of this. There's plenty of work to be done. And we work not to earn grace or salvation. You can't earn those by works. Those are things that are granted by pure grace from God. You can't earn these things. But we do these things because of the grace and salvation that we've already been granted. And it would be a sin not to use these gifts. Remember that. We've already been given these things by the one who did the greatest work of all. Jesus suffered and died on a cross, a Roman cross. And the seeds that He planted on that cross are still being harvested today. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be in this room. This is the reminder for all of us on this. Those seeds are sprouting throughout, everywhere, across the globe. I pray that this mission trip that they've got, you know, these pastors going to Bangladesh with those 193 plus pastors that are coming in there from the area just explodes. Do you realize that the Bangladesh area or whatever is 0.5% Christian? 0.5. India, Bangladesh, 0.5% Christian. I told a guy at work that, and he goes, yeah, but that's a bunch of people. I said, when you've got a population that is a billion, 0.5% is a lot of people. I said, yeah. I said, but what about 99.5 people? How big is that? He goes, yeah. Didn't mean to prune. This is the stuff we need to remember. They're doing great work. And we've got great work to do here, too. Just got to let ourselves be pruned a bit so that we can be bountiful and multiply this kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this reminder today of pruning and how necessary it is to allow You to take things out of our lives that are hindering our relationship with You, our progress and our mission to follow You. And as much as it hurts sometimes, Father, we just ask that You help us submit to that and see that Your glory is what really matters in all of this. Your glory and your mission for us and Your love won't give us something that we don't need. And it won't take away something that we do need. So as we go through this process of being pruned, of this sanctification, this being made useful for you and for your work, help us remember that. And remember that we're not in this alone. We have each other. We have this wonderful Christian church family that you've blessed us with. And we have Jesus in our lives also. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells right in with us that we can focus in and work with and realize what's going on. Help us remember all of these things as we apply it to our lives. And submit and obey you through our lives and through our works. And glorify you through all of it. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for Jesus and his work that did plant so, so many seeds, is still planting seeds today. Help us nourish them and help us in that harvest. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.